Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you've been waiting for. It's what you've been waiting for. Yeah, I know we faded, but I know your heart ain't nothing to play with. You just gotta trust me, promise I won't break it. All I wanna do is make sure that you in your vibe and your body satisfied. Girl, we got all night, yes we do.
You ready?
It's what you've been waiting for. Yeah, it's what you've been waiting for.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, everybody. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration in the Flesh. And I am so happy to be here with you all this Sunday evening. Happy Sunday, everybody. So I am so excited about tonight's show. If you are a first-time listener, welcome to the show. I hope you come and get everything that you came here for and even more. And if you are a regular listener, thank you so much for all of your support and for always coming back with me every Sunday. I love you guys so freaking much. So before we get started with the show, because I'm really excited about this because we so totally need this, I am going to ask us all to take 3 nice, long, delicious breaths, everybody. We're going to inhale for 4, we're going to hold for 6, and we're going to release for 7. Are you ready? Everybody, inhale. Inhale. Last breath, inhale. Yes, yes, yes. That feels so good. Thank you so much, Divine Father and Mother, for all of your love, all of the joy and all of the wonder, all of the beauty that is this life. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Ashe, ancestors. I love you so very much, and I thank you so very much. I appreciate you so much, and I'm just so very thankful to be here and to love you and to receive the love from you in this mission. That's all in my blood. Thank you so very much, Ashe, Warrior Empress. You am I, and I am you, and I am so very thankful to be on this journey. I'm so in love with me, Ashe. Guides. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much, guides, for always leading me in the right direction and always moving me wherever I need to go. I appreciate you so very much, Ashe. Angels, 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 I love you so very much, and I thank you so very much for all of your love and your warm embrace. Oh, yeah, I love you, love you, love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Spiritual mothers and fathers, I appreciate you. I love you. I thank you. Spiritual team, whoop, whoop. I'm so excited about life, I say. All right, party people, welcome, welcome, welcome to Divine Inspiration. I am Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration in the Flesh, and I'm so excited to be here with you all this evening. My son is with me tonight, and you know, mommy duties trump all duties. So If there are any interruptions, then just know that I'm a mother first, and that is my main priority. So tonight's show, I am so very excited. Tonight is going to be a cosmic forecast. As you know, for those of you who listen, can you close the door, honey, please? Thank you. For those of you who listen regularly, then you know every so often I do a cosmic forecast because we need to know what's going on in the cosmos. The energy that is poured forth upon us definitely has an influence and impact in our lives, our everyday lives. And if we don't know what's going on in the cosmos, we might find it strange and think something's wrong with us when the carpet is pulled from underneath us and everything is floating in the air and we don't know what's going on. Once we know what's happening in the cosmos, we go, oh, this is what's going on. All right, I see what's happening. Everything that is not supposed to be here is being removed, even things I think are supposed to be here. So it's very exciting. I'm very excited because this is so very important for each and every one of us. I used to love astrology, man, growing up. I thought that that was, like, so cool, and I only went by sun signs way back in the day when I was growing up. When I was in high school, I always wanted to know what everybody's sign was, this, that, and the third. And then I took a detour once I was in the cult, and I was like, oh gosh, astrology is the devil. I can't, even though I really deep down inside wanted to still know everybody's sign in the church and like still did my own calculations in my mind and thought I was damned for it. Oh God, it was such a torturous time. I'm like, I'm such a sinner because she's a Leo, she's acting like it right now. But all that is done. And once I left the cult in 2012 and I started to go inside of myself, I made a commitment to heal myself and a commitment to know myself and went inside and started meditating and all of these things. Guess what came right back into the forefront of my mind and of my being? You guessed it, astrology. The planets, the cosmos, because we are all made of stardust, and it's so very important to know what's going on. My son just said earlier, my 5-year-old Zion just said earlier, hold on, baby, that people are planets, and he's so very right. All these planets, all of this energy that's going on outside of us is going on inside of us as well, so it's very important that we know what is going on because it's affecting us internally because it starts on the inside and works its way out. It's so miraculous and so amazing to me. I'm so very excited. I'm uber excited. It's 7:07. That's so funny. Every time I look at the clock, it's 7:00 something. Wow, that's a good. Then you did good, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's just so miraculous and just so amazing to me. Like everything that the universe has to share with us and to just all the mysteries that are unfolding before us, and we're all like little minis figuring out what's going on and how this applies to our lives. And I'm just so very, very excited about this all. I don't know about you guys, but man, since that eclipse back in September, things have gone like super crazy in my life. Like, I've been, like, working so hard at manifesting things. I share with you guys, oh, I manifested this. Oh, I did that. Oh, I wrote this. Oh, I'm sprinkling fairy dust and all you guys and all this stuff. And I have been. And then something happened in September where things just kind of, like, my normal everyday life, working my 9-to-5 and doing everything, everything just went and, like, went left, but I'm thinking it went left, but in all actuality, it all is going right. I felt like everything just got all haywire, and things were just up in the air, and I didn't know what was going on, and then all through December, January, February, here we are in March, and I'm like, oh, that's why these things have happened. This all makes sense now. It doesn't feel good, but it all makes sense. It's like everything hidden from myself. You guys, everything hidden in all the crevices, you know, I'm very open about my healing process. I'm very transparent because there's really nothing to hide except for all the things I've hidden from myself all these 31 years, apparently. And all those things are coming up, and it's crazy because I'm like, what? What is this? What are those? And it's like my own stuff that I've had hidden that has just come out, and it's like, what do you really want with your life? What do you really value in relationships? What do you even like? You know what I mean? All these things that I thought that I knew, that I thought I was so sure on because I've been creating my life the past, purposely, the past 2.5 years. I've been purposely, this is what I want. I'm writing it down. I'm putting energy towards it. It's so easy for me to be so gung-ho about it and so positive about it. But then what about those times where I don't feel positive? And so I've been going through those times where I don't feel so positive about everything. Like, I know better. I know, oh, you're supposed to feel good. I know this. I know this. I'm the one that's always talking about it. I feel it. I know it. But then those times where it's like, oh, God, I got to actually say my affirmations and be stern in them and actually do this over and over and over again to get my mind out of the slums, because what's going on, or what has been going on for the past several months, it's like everything has been breaking completely down. It's like to its bare minimum, and it's beautiful because it's preparing for the life that I want, the life on the road, traveling, sprinkling fairy dust on everybody, dancing and healing people with my being, just being, healing in nature, becoming one with myself, and it's so amazing. And documenting all of your stories and coming to your town and hanging out with you, and all these wonderful, fun things that I desire to do, the way is being paid for it. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, okay, well, this doesn't feel so good. You know, like, this is supposed to be great. I'm supposed to be feeling good. This is not, everything is coming into fruition, you know, even though it doesn't look like it. It should feel good. But then Spirit let me know, like, okay, like with anything, right, not only was Rome not built in a day, which, you know, I'm very impatient when it comes to these things, which I'm learning patience. I'm like, I can see my future, okay? I just need to get there. I just want to presto changeo and be there. And I know it's possible if I can just get my mind right and sit up. But the thing is, like, even the roads that are here, these roads, these highways and byways that we have, they weren't here initially. There had to be some terrain that was knocked down and tore apart and concrete laid and foundations laid in order for the roads that we drive on every day to be paved. In the same way, in my life, the road that is being paved for my future, so I could just hit the ground running, traveling everywhere, and doing what I love to do, which is healing you all by being love, peace, healing, and restoration, that road has to be paved. And that's not it's not the easiest process. I would say it's painful. It just is, right? Trees being torn down, road being dirt being dug up and moved, and all this sort of stuff, clearing the path is happening, and it's so miraculous, and it's so amazing, and it's happening, and at first it seemed like, what is going on? Like, I can't even make up my mind. I need to be clear. I know a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways, but what is going on? I know what I want. I'm super clear about that. What is this? What's happening? But once I learned the forecast, I'm like, oh, okay. First of all, everybody's going through this. It's not just me. And this makes sense. So it's only fitting that we have a forecast so that you all can know what is going on, what's happening in your lives, and how it all makes sense. We have some exciting stuff coming up in the forecast, or that's going on in the forecast right now. And I'm very excited about it. But before we get to it, we're going to take a break. You are more than welcome to call in. You know, I love to hear from you guys. Just dial the number 516-590-0975. Press the number 1. You can ask questions. You can share your opinion. You can tell me about how the stuff hit the fan in your life and or whatever, whatever. The things are going great. I don't know, because this stuff affects us all very differently, but it affects us all the same. Yes, we're going to go to this quick song. We're going to listen to it, and when we get back, I'm going to introduce you to my guest. Enjoy this tune, and we'll be right back.
Down. nobody seen my phone. Feel better here with Sheena. I'm gonna keep a close.
Marks all up in Safari. They don't want me going too far. Bookmarks all up in Safari. Cause my old John's tryna keep tabs on me. Yeah, my old John's tryna keep tabs on me. Don't worry about the cost cause the tab's on me. Shots for the tribe cause the tab's on me. Even feds wanna shot keeping tabs on me. It's getting wild. Safari. Yeah, the shit getting wild. Safari. And we're blowing all loud. Safari. Cause the shit's getting wild. Safari, safari.
I was out there in safari, living. I was out there acting naughty, sinning. Giving you an L as a hobby, winning. Then I dive down in the body, swimming. And she don't want a thing. She just want dance all around the fire naked. She just want drink, fornicating in the wild. She just want lank with the freedom of a childhood.
Cowabunga, baby, we ain't getting no younger. And you wild in the land down under. And in the wild, every woman is a hunter.
I know you want the. Do you want to take a trip with us? Mushroom tea getting lit with us. It's okay, baby, you can strip with us. No one gonna know what you did with us.
Bookmarks all up in Safari. They don't want me going too far. Bookmarks all up in Safari. Cause my old John's tryna keep tabs on me. Yeah, my old John's tryna keep tabs on me. Don't worry about the cost cause the tab's on me. Shots for the tribe cause the tab's on me. Even feds wanna shot keeping tabs on me. It's getting wild. Safari. Yeah, the shit getting wild. Safari. And we're blowing all loud. Safari. Cause the shit's getting wild. Safari, safari.
Tonight, she gonna try something for the very first time. Tonight, she might do her very first crime.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration, on Married to Change Radio. I'm so excited to be here with you all this evening. If you want to call in, please feel free to do so at 516-590-0975. I am so excited because this cosmic forecast, I have one of my favorite astrologers from YouTube coming on the show to give us the cosmic forecast. It's everybody's favorite astrologer. We're going to have my very favorite. Oh, my God. Let me just tell you, I accidentally stumbled upon him. No, I'm lying. I did not. I watched Astrolana on YouTube. Lady, I don't know how what her, it's Lady something, Da Vinci, I don't know. Her name is Astrolana. And I love Astrolana. I've been watching her for a long time, and she's so thorough and intricate. And then all of a sudden she started bringing in all these astrologers on the show to do all kinds of readings. And this one right here that's going to be on the show tonight just blew me away. He blew me away. I loved him so much because he gave shout-outs to all of the magical beings out there, all of the fairies, all of, yeah, that's all that matters to me because you guys already know fairy life. And so I just loved him so much that I invited him on the show. I said, let's hit up Magic Mike and see if he wants to come on the show so that he can give us a cosmic forecast. Nobody does a cosmic forecast like Magic Mike. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show Magic Mike. Welcome to Divine Inspiration.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be a part of this. I even love the title. It's amazing.
Thank you so much, Mike. I have to have you on this show. My five-year-old watches you with me, and he was like, oh, my God, is that Magic Mike on the phone? I can't believe you're talking to him, Mommy. I think that's so cool. You're like a celebrity.
Wow, that's a huge honor. Wow, even the little kids, I love it.
Good know, right? Yeah, he loves you too. So, Mike, I invited you on the show so you can give us the 411. First of all, let us know a little bit about yourself and let us know what's going on in the cosmos.
All right. Well, yeah, Magic Mike, been in astrology for 5 years now. My journey started 2017. I think it'll be 5 years coming into May. And the thing I'm just so fortunate about this journey, Jupiter put me on. Jupiter, the actual, some people call it Zeus, actual planet Jupiter, like, was like, it is time, like, to start to understand. It was my Jupiter in the first house transit. And I love that I'm speaking to with the Sagittarius, who, you know, is ruled by Jupiter. Definitely feel these undertones. But, yeah, so far this journey has taught me, like, you know, when God is ready to use you, you get used. So many times I've been able to see and experience this higher power, so I know it's not me, lest I want to get into my ego and everything. And I'm just glad to be on for the ride.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So do share with us what is going on right now in the cosmos, because things are like, what in my life? And I know it's not just me because I talk to other people. So what is up?
The big question. So, I mean, this is such a pivotal period. I'm so glad that you mentioned the eclipse in September. I think that's the most important thing to look back on. Where is your life in September? What happened to you? What kind of initiative really got sparked? Because this is what's being manifested right now. A thing that I love about Pisces is that, you know, Pisces season is the end of the year. I know that the Gregorian calendar, we put the end of the year as December, which is ironically, you know, mid-Sag to Capricorn. But the true new year is spring, when flowers start to bud again and the sun moves through Aries and we start to have more day, especially closer to the summer. So, you know, there's so much that is being released this season. And that's why I'm so glad that you brought up the eclipse, because when I didn't even think about it until you said it, but when I think about September, when we had that eclipse in Virgo, this is when I, like, started this new chapter of my journey. I have moved to Las Vegas and basically started a new life. And now that this eclipse has happened in Pisces, the whole transit of, you know, from 6 months, which usually takes around the time to manifest a whole lot, or, you know, the opposite sign, I'm now seeing the results of the actions I've taken since September. And that's why it's so important to really, you know, be mindful of everything you're intaking. What's your spiritual diet? Pisces has so much to do with the experience of everything that is on a high spiritual level. This is what makes people with planets there so impressionable. So, you know, as we're closing out this new year, and as you so greatly incited on, like, next month, and we're headed into, and what we're headed into is so exciting, because for the first time in a long time, we're all going to reclaim our identities like never before. But, like, this is a release of this past year since last Aries. There's so much that does not match with who we have become, and does not match with our updated visions, that we have to let go. The old jobs that we have to let go, the old construct of this 3D world that we have to let go. We have to make sacrifices, to sacrifice our lesser selves, and they're going to hurt. They're going to be painful. This is honestly the only thing that is probably giving you a lot of stress, because you know that you have to let go, that you come into this new identity in this new lane, Aries. So, I mean, all I could say right now, as far as what's going on now, is, you know, so much of the spiritual portion of your coming to the surface. Yeah, you're in a human body, but hey, you're realizing, wow, I'm actually a non-corporeal being that has nothing to do with humanity. Maybe I'm a literal alien in a human body. You embracing this, you right now, you're experiencing your magic. The universe is sending you hints, it's sending you and telling you outright through signs who you truly are. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people identify themselves with what name their parents gave them or a nationality, but that's not who born, before you had a name, before you let society and conditions condition you and change you, who are you truly? That's what's coming out, and that's probably the source of all tension and conflict, because next month is going to be reborn, never before.
Amazing. That is so true, because I feel, I mean, I always knew I wasn't from this planet or whatever, but nobody wants to hear that. That just sounds crazy, but it's true. So many people are, like, waking up to this stuff, and if you're not taking heed, you're getting sick. Like, what, you know, like, people are getting sick in their bodies because they're not letting go. They're not releasing. Even me, myself, like, I get my lymph nodes go crazy sometimes when I'm having emotional releases and stuff like that. And, like, having to let go of that stuff. Like you said, it is a sacrifice, and it's scary. Just like my job. I didn't want to work my job forever. Like, I'm like, okay, I love these kids, but I don't really want to do this. Like, I want to, like, make my own art and express myself and model and make money doing divine inspiration, like, being divine inspiration. I want to – I'm a muse. Like, I need to get paid to give my ideas to people and whatever, you know, like, stuff like that. And so – then my job, I slowly started losing hours until I'm like, damn, I can hardly afford to pay my bills. I think it's time for me to start getting paid to give other people ideas because I'm being forced to do it. There's no other way. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, good God, this is crazy. Okay, I know I said I didn't want this job, but, like, I need to eat into this, but I feel good. Like, I'm not afraid anymore. Before, I was so afraid, you know, like, oh, my God, I'm so scared. Like, how am I going to make a living? How am I going to do this? I was. In 2015, I was scared. I started selling everything. I started hustling. I started getting out there. But then now I'm in this place, and I'm like, I'm not afraid. I feel really good. It's so weird. I'm like, you know, my family is like, you're not tripping. Like, you need to move. I'm like, no, actually, I need to stay still. I'm like in a place where I need to be still right now. I don't need to move. But I wanna talk about Venus and this Venus retrograde. And what we should expect from that.
All right. So, first of all, I do want to commend you, because what you're doing is something that a lot of other Sagittariuses aren't really, you know, like, you would tell us if a lot more Sagittariuses do, it would change that much. And you're, you know, to put yourself out like there like this, just like you're a fire sign of light, it really does illuminate. And I really do respect and honor you for doing this. But, yeah, as far as Venus retrograde, because of its influence next to Uranus, but more so, it's going to go, or I guess by now it's already retrograde, which is interesting. So the first thing to notice about the retrograde is that it's happening square Pluto. And this retrograde is effectively purging a whole lot of these old relationship constructs. Honestly, Venus retrograde, if you look at the traditional meaning of it, is going to indicate exes returning and a whole lot of old relationship themes, but it's in the sign of Aries, of newness. This Venus retrograde is actually going to make a lot of wishes come true, because it's going to retrograde back into Chiron on the divine, and your heart is going to be healing its connection with the universe. Knows what you want. So what's going to happen is a whole lot of people are going to be manifesting relationships that they've been dreaming about, but because it's going to be retrograding, it's not going to happen what you expect, or with probably the person you expect, even if it's the same person. You know, that person may have a completely different character. There's going to be such a huge shift in how people identify themselves. And the reason why it might not be what you expect is, if you're still clinging to the old identity, your spiritual eyes aren't going to be open, and you're not going to see that this relationship that's coming in is going to give you everything you've been feeling and wanting, but you're just so focused on maybe an old lover, or old lovers can come back, but this retrograde is going to resolve old patterns in love and relationship that you're going to finally, with the fire of Aries and the magic of Pisces, change and then take action to purge. So what's more likely going to happen is new people with the newness of the spark of Aries, brand new people coming into your life carrying the same old relationship lessons that you have had to deal with at a large way, but because you're upgraded, what had failed in another relationship is going to work, and you have to fight past that fear of, well, last time this happened, well, you're a different person. So it's very pivotal. And of course, Venus also has a lot to do with manifestation outside of love. So it's a great way to reprioritize your values and come into a greater manifestation ability based on the new you.
Okay, quick question. So how does a person look for how this retrograde or where this retrograde is going to affect them in the houses? Do they go by their sun sign chart or do they go by their natal chart?
Oh, this is a really good question. So a really good question. You actually have to do both because the sun is going to show you what's happening and the natal chart is going to show you where it happened. So, for example, if you are a Cancer but you have a Scorpio rising, as a Cancer, this Venus retrograde is going to really greatly influence your relationships with authority figures. But as a Scorpio rising, this is going to play out in your routine and the decisions you make to influence your behavior, although you're going to be aware of it in the 10th house sense because Aries is the 10th house of the Cancer sun. Your rising sign is going to show you where the sun sign stuff happens, how you perceive it. No problem. If you're a Libra, if you're a Sagittarius and maybe Libra rising, then this Venus retrograde is going to really revolutionize and change how you love, how you express yourself. But this is going to happen as a Libra rising in your relationships. So, yeah, it's very important that you blend both. But if you can't, if maybe it's a little bit too complicated, I would kind of focus more on the sun, because even though the rising sign will tell you where it plays out specifically, the sun sign will at least tell you what the lesson is happening.
All right, so as a Sagittarius sun, it's going to be in my 7th house?
Oh, good question. In your 5th house.
6th house. 5th. Oh, 5th house. This is fun house. All right.
Yeah. That's why I said
awesome.
I just love Aries.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Okay, so what about the full moon coming up? What should we expect from that?
Great question. So like I said, and I wouldn't have thought of this, but because you mentioned the eclipse in September, you kind of want to think of this full moon as the completion of what you've done in September. First of all, this full moon is the culmination of everything that you have kind of imagineered for your future. So the beauty of full moons in Virgos, a full moon in Virgo is the final full moon of the whole year. It's the most important one. It takes the energy from the new moon in Aries since last year and does a final culmination. If you actually, you know, do rituals every single new moon, which it's okay if you don't, especially if you didn't even do any ritual at all or if you didn't make no intentions for this new moon Pisces, what's good is that the moon is in Gemini, so you still have a quarter square to speak into existence everything you want, and I mean everything. Like, if you feel you want to be in a planet named Mars X that doesn't even exist, the existential nature of Pisces, which makes it possible, will give you that wish when it comes to Virgo. Now, you're not going to be in Mars X, but the feeling that you wanted, whatever being on Mars X makes you feel, the full moon in Virgo will make that real. So it's important that you detach specifically from what you want, but you're still able to recognize when it manifests, and you will know because you're focusing on the feeling of what you imagine.
That's good. You're focusing on the feeling of what you imagine. That's pretty awesome. So, let me see. Yeah, we're going to take a quick little break real quick, and then we'll be right back. If anybody would like to call in to ask any questions or to clarify anything, share an experience or anything like that, feel free to do so. The number to dial in is 516-590-0975. We'll be right back after this song.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Welcome back, beautiful beings. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration on Marriage to Change Radio, and I heard we have a caller. Caller, speak to me.
Hi, Alicia. This is Mika from Tampa.
Hi, Mika.
Hi, Magic Mike.
Hello. Thank you for calling.
Thank you guys for taking my call. I was wondering, I know that there's a lot that's going on with Venus in retrograde, and I just wanted to know, as a Leo with a sun sign and a rising in Taurus, what exactly should I be paying attention to right now? Because there's a lot of stuff that's kind of like, that I feel is about to break open, and I'm trying to be positive about, but I'm not exactly sure, like, what lessons are to come or where I should be focused at right now with my attention.
Good question. Good question. I will say, as a Leo, this has a lot to do with how you express your love out to the world. There's a lot of influences. You want to look to the influences that determine what make you respect someone and look up to someone, because Venus retrograde in your 10th, especially as a woman, is trying to make you, because Venus retrograde for a woman is now shattering all the old gender roles, all the old patriarchal malarkey that doesn't really work. And as a Leo, oh my gosh, you know, Aries, Sagittarius, Leo women have to deal with this the worst, because you're not going to let anyone. And then you turn into a villain for standing up for yourself. So thankfully, as it's rising, right, this is actually a very spiritual place. And your influence of really being aware of how you know, especially with Venus in the 10th, whenever you go out to in the world now, you have to bring your A game and bring your beauty, but there's a special quality to how you'll spiritually understand the true meaning of these connections. The lesson for you here is just really surrender and make sure you draw the right boundaries and change the what you need to respect someone so that you can get the love in your life or keep loving your life.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's really, yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
Rock on.
Thank you for calling.
I'm so glad I could. Thank
you. You're welcome. Hello? Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I know that you have this amazing outlook or analogy for what each sign stands for, like Aquarius being the script writer and, you know, all this stuff, right? All the actors are and what the roles that we all play as different signs. And that's so dope. I'm totally digging it. I think it's pretty awesome. How does that play into the fact that we are every sign, and every sign is in all of our houses? Does that mean, like, where Aquarius is in my house, that's where I write the script there, and where Scorpio is, that's where I collect the funds and where I think about that? Like, how does that play into the individual being that we're made up of all of those?
Ooh, that was such a good question, because you just answered it right there. That's just such a it's something that I haven't really touched on enough. But, yeah, like, now that you kind of integrate that, for example, wherever Aquarius is in your chart, that's where you're going to really be writing scripts for your life. Although I will say directly, if you look at other people with their sun there, they're going to help you more kind of be aware of this. But yeah, everybody is a producer because everybody has Taurus, right? But where your sun is where you're directly going to represent. So in that sense, it's true. But also, in another reflexive sense, even though you have all these elements in your makeup, you still choose with your sun sign to represent one. So maybe a sun in Aquarius, you'll see where that narrator, the real narrator, plays out in your life. But honestly, both are true. Like, I really like that interpretation as well, because it does give you the power to kind of encapsulate this as an unlimited being, really.
Right. Yeah, because I know, like, I am totally the wild card, period, like, point blank. And it sounds like we have another caller on the line. But before we get that caller, I hear you. But before I get you on, I want to finish my thought really quick. I know that that I'm a wild card, and I have Sag in the fifth and the sixth house. So I'm like, okay, so does that mean like I'm wild? Well, I'm a wild card when it comes to routines and service to others and healing and stuff, as well as children and romance and hobbies and creative endeavors as well. And so, yeah, that's why I asked that question, because I'm like, okay, well, how does this play off? I mean, like, I'm asking you now. So that means because I'm Sag, that's my sun, but my sun is in my sun is only in one spot. In some charts, it's in the fifth, and then in some charts, it's in the sixth house. So how does that play out with me being the wild card and the fifth or in the sixth house?
That's a really good question, because I've never really incorporated the house system into it, but it definitely is relevant. So the fifth house would kind of make you the fifth house and the house system will be the perception. So you want to think that as a camera crew. So if the fifth house is going to be like a first house Sagittarius sun would be the identity of the wild card. And you're going to see the camera crew follow them in the places they're supposed to appear. A fifth house sun now will kind of appear like Leo, the lead role. It's almost as if watching the movie, but instead of Leo's vantage point, you're seeing it from Scorpio's vantage point. Sagittarius. Because, you know, there is a real role. As far as the interception or the intercepted houses, I personally use the equal house system. So that would put your sixth house as Capricorn. But regardless, since you have the sixth in Sag, Capricorn would still be a large part of your sixth. And it would still kind of cover ground. But, yeah, the influence of the houses, the character still remains the same, but the house is going to show maybe how it's covered. If we're, because the rising sign is your perception, so it's going to show more how, if you want to think of it as the angels in heaven watching this production, then it your fifth house sun would show how much more screen time you get. Let's say you had a sixth house sun, and now this is the energy of the critic who isn't even in the play or behind the scenes, so you're acting your part, but you're also within critiquing your performance as you're acting.
That sounds like me. I think it's the sixth house for sure.
Oh, nice.
I'm the critic and the wild card. I'm like, gosh, that could have been better. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, so we have a caller on the line. I'm going to take this caller. Caller, speak to me. Caller, are you still there?
Uh-oh.
Zombies? Hello. Hi. Guess not.
Hello.
All right. Well, Mike, can you please explain to us all of these players? I brought that up, but I realized that maybe some of my listeners don't watch you regularly. So can you please let us know all of the stars of the zodiac sign, what roles do we play in life according to your analogy?
No problem. So follows the secret seven and the famous five. You have the masculine signs and the feminine signs, the backstage workers and the front stage, the onstage actors. And before I get to those, I usually save these for last, right? Because they're the last signs, but Pisces and Virgo. Pisces and Virgo indicate the only zodiac signs.
Hold on. The caller came back. Caller, speak to us.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I didn't know that was me that that was accepted. I'm sorry.
It's you. Who am I speaking with?
This is Ia from Virginia.
Hi, Ia. Welcome to Divine Inspiration. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having me. Hi, Magic Mike.
Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. So I guess my question is, it was interesting to hear from the last caller because her sun sign is a Leo and her rising is a Taurus, and I flipped that. I'm a Taurus as my sun sign and my rising is a Leo. I wanted to know if our situations are similar. Also, I feel like, much like Alicia said, things are on the brink for everyone, and everyone's kind of going through conflict and digging and learning and digging up things and rediscovering. And I just kind of wanted to know what could kind of be going on in my situation, or, you know, what's going on in the cosmos for me? Is it the same as the previous caller because we're kind of similar, or is it completely different?
And just to re-clarify, you're a...
I'm a Taurus. My
with
son's
the
Taurus is Taurus.
You're right.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so, yeah, it's going to be somewhat similar, just fundamentally different in the sense where you're having to, whereas for the last caller, the focus is much more on the authority and the manifestation of the goals they want on love. Yours is a lot more focused on the spiritual energy you're releasing and surrendering to. And
okay.
Kind of, it's a lot more spiritual, yeah. And the only thing with 12th house Venus transits, it requires an element of surrender. And I'm going to incorporate the actors here. As a Taurus, you are a producer. So there's so much that occurs in your reality where Taurus is so slept on. Like, a lot of people don't know without Taurus' influence, nothing would really happen because Taurus is out here bragging. So there's so much that you're identifying your worth and value through. And, of course, with the fire of Aries, you're gaining such a spiritual insight into the true natures of people that as a Leo rising, this is going to make you make important decisions. Once again, what goals do you have? What do you want to achieve in your relationships, but in a spiritual way that doesn't necessarily have to be linear? And I would say also, you just want to trust the intuitions you gain about certain people. You're kind of looking at the finished result before these actually manifest in person. So just hold it in your heart and never give up.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Okay, Mike, so you were talking about Virgo and Pisces and what role they play in this grand play that's happening, this grand production.
Yeah, so Virgo and Pisces, they represent the critic and the audience, respectively, in the sense where Virgo is literally paid to make sure the movie's on point. You know what I mean? Like, if we didn't have constructive criticism, then we wouldn't know where we can better ourselves. And this is what Virgo kind of does for life. They peep everything. They notice every detail, and they know how to make it perfect. Whereas Pisces, the production, you know, Pisces can just sit and just blend, observe, and be. And that's because this whole life is for them. So a lot of people don't realize that, and I'm not going to explain, right? But Pisces,
Mike, you broke up. You broke up. You said Pisces, this whole thing is for them, and then you broke up a little bit.
Right? Isn't that weird? Like, I have a
yeah. You're going. You're like going in and out. You're fading in and out. I don't know what that's about.
That's really weird. All right, but yeah. So Pisces is here to watch this production. A lot of people may not be aware of that, but you know, Pisces can blank out. They just see everything. Like, always assume that a Pisces that you know is not telling you 80% of what they see. You'll take it 80%.
That's a lot.
Influencing you. They're not going to say anything. Or by Pluto before birth, not to reveal their secrets. And they have Scorpio in their ninth house, so they know how to keep secrets. Like, they keep so much to themselves. They know people won't understand, unless you're Sagittarius. Sagittarius is one of the only ones who can kind of speak that language. But yeah, Pisces and Virgo, they're in the actual feast watching this play. Virgo is critiquing. Pisces is just being, enjoying it, taking it all in. And then, of course, you have the backstage personnel. Taurus is the one who produced the whole shindig. And Aquarius is the one who came. Yeah. Of course, is the air sign. They wrote this play called Life. They designated what the characters are, predetermined what's going to happen, just like it's a fixed sign of knowledge. And, of course, you know, the clash between Taurus and Aquarius is more grounded. They want to do themselves. So sometimes the message of Aquarius, you know, when Aquarius looks at the movie, Aquarius is kind of heated because some versions of the movie were made more Hollywood so that it would sell more. It kind of compromised true nature of the story, but, you know, we're able to come to a balance. Something, you know how weird or Aquarius is, so there's so much in the story that Taurus wouldn't necessarily let because it wasn't necessarily normal enough, right? After that was squared away, they got the actors. Capricorn is the director. In order to have a movie, you need a very good director and direct the flow of what the actors are doing. And that speaks of Capricorn being the goddess and the director of life of all the universe, next to Aquarius and next to Sagittarius, managing the creation of God, the creator, which of course is Sag. And then Cancer, one of the most slept on, is a makeup artist. So in order to make the play look good, you have to have actors who look the part. You know what I'm saying? No blemishes. Mm-hmm. They have to actually made up, and that's what Cancer does. Cancer makes sure you restore your feelings so you feel your best. If you feel your best, you do your best. And definitely powerful there. And then, of course, I think we mentioned all the backstage personnel. And then, of course, the famous five, the one everyone came to see the movie for, Leo, the lead role, the star actor. Of course, every story needs a villain and antagonist. And Aries was glad to play that role, although the way this kind of plays out in real life, it's fair, because Aries, the way this plays out in real life, Aries will get unfairly labeled as victims for just doing the right thing, being themselves. But the bad side of Aries is being too selfish and narcissistic and only caring about yourself and doing actions that don't take to collect the collective, which it's what Aries embodies in this is a play, although you'll see Aquarius has a little twist, and the bad guy isn't really the bad guy you think, but of course, that will be plainly evident to see as individualism rises up against, you know, collective brainwashing. Libra, of course, is the supporting role, because the lead role, love, which is, can't necessarily do it alone. You need relationships to balance out the love you have with someone else, and that's what Libra does in the play. And then, of course, Sagittarius is the wild card, which is a very important position because, you know, the whole play is going to be altered. This Sagittarius kind of represents a twist in the story where you don't even expect what happens on left field. And that gives them so much magic and power over the plot of the story because Aquarius purposely gave them no script. Like, if they want to let the villain win, they can help. If they want to let the lead role win, if they want to be the villain and take it elsewhere, they can totally do that. And that's the supreme magic powers of Sagittarius. And then, of course, Gemini, best friends with Leo, but also the apprentice to Aries. So, of course, like a two-faced, Gemini is friends with the villain and friends with the lead role, but they represent the comic relief. So, you know, whenever there are moments of brevity and laughter, the truth will come out through these two Gemini. And that marks the cast.
That is so amazing. When I heard that, I was like, oh, my gosh. That makes so much sense. Who comes up with this stuff? He had to have channeled that. That is so amazing. I think that's so amazing. And I would love for you to, like, really, like, go deeper into how that plays in the house system, given that we're all everything. You know what I mean? We have to perfect all of those things. Because I know, like, for me, okay, before I even say this, I want to ask you this. How do you feel about Vedic astrology? Do you feel like, because I know there's tropical and then there's sidereal or Vedic astrology. Do you do Vedic at all or sidereal at all?
So it is something that I've studied, especially when I first started doing astrology. The thing with Vedic is they have principles. Vedic is a little bit too fatalistic to me, especially if you study the history of how it came about. A whole lot of the political and cultural themes that had happened in the time it came out influenced directly how to interpret those. But despite the fatalistic quality, there's certain techniques in Vedic, like nakshatras or divisional charts, that are just super accurate. However, if you base it off the sidereal system, it's completely bunk, completely false. So I don't completely dismiss Vedic. I apply the Vedic principles to the Western astrology. And the only reason why it's a little bit inaccurate is because Vedic and sidereal place the chart based on the constellations. And this is great if you're doing the astrology for the age of the universe, then the constellation will be a great way to base this off of. So sidereal is accurate. If you're doing like the age of Aquarius, if you're doing a more broad universal horoscope, but if you're doing your personal horoscope, then it's a scientific reason. A lot of people like to choose preference between Vedic and Western, but no, it's scientific based on the Earth and based on the Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn, which is why it's called tropical astrology. It speaks more of the sun's movement through the seasons as opposed to constellations. So some people think that you're a Capricorn if the sun is in the constellation of Capricorn, but you're truly a Capricorn if your sun is transiting through the winter solstice, of course, in the northern hemisphere, where the day is the least and the night is the most. So it's not the constellation that marks the sign, it's the actual seasonal influence of the sun, because the sun, unlike the constellation, which could shift over time, faithfully and consistently will move a degree every time, and the seasons will always be the same, even if it flips between hemispheres. So that's what kind of solidifies the accuracy of, Western astrology. But when you apply the Vedic techniques to Western, you get the best of both worlds.
Oh, nice. That is so dope. That's the dopest explanation or, like, I don't want to say argument, but, like, that's the only word I can think of for tropic astrology. Because I always hear about sidereal being, oh, because it goes with the constellations, it is more accurate because the constellations are there and this is where the sun is going through. But your explanation is, like, the most convincing explanation that I heard for tropical. So the reason why I asked that first is because I was going to say that I want you to expound more upon, like, really go deeper one of these days, maybe in one of your videos, about how each sign, their character plays out in the houses. Because I know for me, I'm a sun sign, Sag, double Cancer, rising, and moon. And I feel crazy a lot of times because my mood is all over the place. And, like, I mean, when I tell you my mood changes like the moon in a microcosm, like, within 24 hours, it's real. It's so real. And and so I'm like, dude, like, I have all this love to give, and I'm such a nurturer. And then the Sag will come out. It's like, F you need to leave, but let me feed you first and make sure you get to your place safely. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just crazy. So I'm wondering, like, how that all plays out in a more in the type of way. I'm really curious to know. And I'm not asking you, like, right now. I want you to, like, really take some time and think about that. And, like, whenever the time comes, I'm going to see you on YouTube.
No, it's going to have to own. I actually did a couple of series on it in my other channel. And I had to erase it because I want to do it justice, but I never thought to incorporate that, and that's going to add a whole other dimension, and it makes a whole lot of sense, too. For example, if your moon sign is in one of these signs, you're going to be an assistant. So I have a moon in Capricorn, but I'm a Gemini. So I'm a comic relief, but I'm an assistant director. So I'm slowly kind of keying into how the actors are acting, but also because my sun is in the first house, this is going to have me perceive my comic role character in a more villainous light. So, like I said, Gemini is more like friends with Aries and Leo. If I was a fifth house Gemini sun, I would be more closer to the lead role, but I'm going to be more closer to the villain. And I get along so much better with Aries than I do with Leos. And I love both of them, but yeah. And I wouldn't have thought about that until
Yeah, I'm so interested. Like, I want to know, because I'm really trying to ascend this time around. I don't want to come back. I really want to go somewhere else, not just only in my mind. So So I would love to know, like, how to incorporate those things in my everyday life in the different houses that they are in, and just really perfect that, too, because I need it, like, seriously.
I have a question for you, because I just kind of want to flip your way of seeing this. I could be wrong, but I kind of believe that Sagittariuses can't ascend in this lifetime because, you know, and a whole lot of lies have been told to Sag about who they are. I don't feel like Sagittarius can ascend because they were already born ascended, and they descended from a higher realm to teach humanity. So, like, I feel like you've already ascended in a way, but you're aware of your mortal vessel, and your consciousness is already ascended, and you're feeling that disconnect of trying to bridge the two.
I feel that so deeply, even as a child. That's why I feel like I'm really misunderstood. People feel like I have a superiority complex, because even as a child, I had all this wisdom, and I'm like, yo, that's not right. Even my friends, even to this day, people would try to, like, tell me something, and I'm like, dude, that's not right morally. Like, you can't, how can you live with yourself doing that? I'm not judging you for it, but I'm letting you know that morally is incorrect. And yeah, you could say there's no right or wrong, but, like, let's think about this. I think that you might be onto something, Mike, because I've always known that I wasn't from this planet and that I came here to save the planet and to do all this. And because of my standards, it makes it hard for me to keep friends, because I'm like, I don't like to joke. I don't like to call my friends bitches. I don't like to be called a bitch. I don't like coarse joking. And I'm, like, so stern about that. Like, I don't like to be called stupid. Oh, you stupid. Oh, that was dumb. No, let's not joke like that, because they're powerful. And, like, I'm very conscious of these things. So it makes it hard for me to be around in certain environments where these things are taking place without me speaking, because I have to speak on it. I'm a Sag. I have to speak on it. But if I'm in the environment and I feel like I have to speak on too much, I will disassociate from that environment and I won't go back. And so it doesn't matter what's going on. I have to detach from that. And then because I have, like, a stellium and Scorpio in the fifth house, I don't know how to not, like, completely immerse myself in whatever I'm in. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. Like, I'm learning how to be human. I just stationed in my body, like, 2 years ago. I'm like, all right, I'm in my body. This is crazy.
That's honestly the most important thing you said. Like, if you're a Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, this life is about learning to be human. Me as a Gemini, you know, I can get arrogant, and then I have to know my place. Like, no, I'm a human. Like, I have human consciousness. I interact with higher beings because I'm going to ascend. You know what I'm saying? And it just really helps you know who's who and how to interact with those energies. But, yeah, learning how to be human is the most humbling experience, but it's a choice. And it's always good to remember that your spirit is, especially in Sagittarius, like, you represent God. You know, Sagittarius are walking gods. And how do you, you know, bridge that in this human experience and spread your joy and magic? And, yeah.
Yeah, it's been quite a time. Like, this is, like, what I'm dealing with now. It's like I just now had to acknowledge the fact that some beings are just not for the benefit of the whole. And I'm like, no, but everybody's love and everybody's joy. And then, like, this is what we should all be. It's so amazing. And people love my energy and they love for me to be around. But then I'm like, but then, like, what are you doing? Like, I can't believe, no, nobody would just try to hurt somebody. That's crazy. And then it's like, no, but people do this. And I'm seeing it over and over again. And I'm like, yo, I have to acknowledge this and accept it about life. Like, there are just some beings that are not about love and joy and peace.
One of the most painful things ever. I still have a hard time accepting it myself, because you're right. Like, everything, we are all created with love. But unfortunately, some people have generational karma where their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa sold their soul to a demon or the devil, and now their whole generation has to, you know, follow that until someone breaks that. And they don't know why they get possessed by dark, you know, motives. Or, you know, some people, they willingly sacrifice their soul and love for false power to worship false idols. And
wow.
They are. but not everyone is able to let go of that illusion. And that's why, you know, Jesus and all the Illuminated ones, they're like, you have to love through it, because it's only love that's going. People may be stubborn until death cling to that, but that person is still all love. You know what I'm saying? I've always asked, can the devil be saved? The devil itself, you know, but that's another conversation for another time.
Right, that's a whole other conversation. I remember I was on that real test in like 2011. I'm like, if we just pray for the devil, he can be saved too. God made him this way in order for him to help us to grow. But then I realized that I am the devil and I am God, and so it's all within me. And as long as I find balance within myself, then I have done my job. I've done due diligence. As long as I heal myself and do what I need to do for myself, I'm doing it for the collective. So that's what I've come up with thus far. So it's 808. See? 808, 717, 707. I look at the clock at all those times. This is crazy. I can't. This just keeps happening. I love it, though. So do you have any last words for us or final words? Let us know where we can find you, what you have going on, how we can contact you for readings. Did you even offer readings? And what's up?
Well, you can contact me on astrolotta.com, and I'll be one of her readers under Magic Mike. Always stay tuned. I wish there was a better way to know before I go live, but you know, you can catch my live videos, whether after it's live or during live, and I'll totally bring the broadcast. And I totally have some dope specials on her website, and you'll be able to kind of, I recommend more of a Skype reading, because I like to talk to people one-on-one and really kind of engage in. And I gained so much more from it, too, just from sharing presence with so many amazing people. And that's what I want to leave with. Like, this job has taught me, like, God and Goddess have created nothing that will not ever, you know what I'm saying, corrupt, really. Like, they ultimately know what's up, and this is represented through you. And people are just so beautiful, even in our ugliness that we may have. So the only thing I want to leave you with is, especially now, you know things in your life that are hard to tell others. You know, you're going through, like, based off of what you've revealed to others, there is that thing deep in your soul that you're terrified of sharing because you know no one will understand you. You need to embrace that now, because you're going to really fully evolve into the reality of that. Right now, you're just supposed to hold space and believe. You're going to become this reality in a short month. And it usually doesn't happen like this, but it's a huge shift because you're bringing out your true spiritual self. And your true spiritual self may interact in a certain dimension or language that you're not used to. And you just have to learn to reframe your focus so you can see it in a different light. But all I can say is believe in yourself. Believe in yourself because you feel it so strongly. And it doesn't have to be linear. It doesn't have to be logical. It just has to be true to you. Even if you're a flying cheeseburger.
Yes, yes. Or a wind sage. Or a wind mage. Isn't that what you are?
Yes. A level 26 wind mage.
You're like actually level 23. Come on, get it right. Yes, I'm so happy that you came on the show, Mike. And perhaps we can have you again in a couple of months or a few weeks to do another cosmic forecast. Let's see. Are you open to that?
I totally am. I know I'll have so much to say by then, too.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to come with some really good questions to challenge you, because I love that. I think that we need that. Iron sharpens iron, and so we need those challenges. We need those questions. We need those things so that we can grow and ascend. And I'm super excited to hear, once you get it, get that download about the houses and how we can incorporate that as individuals. Oh, man, I'm really excited about that. And I thank you so very much, Mike. I had such a good time here with you. And without further ado, we're going to get into our soul work. Every single week we have soul work. This is work that I channel, and if you implement this into your life, then you will elevate your soul. This is just what I get, and I do this myself. It's not just for you. It's for me first, because this is all about self-healing, and I share that with all you all so we can all heal together. So the censoring thoughts for the week. That was a domino house that just fell. The censoring thought for the week is, I am one with the cosmic energy and use it to manifest the best for me. I am one with the cosmic energy and use it to manifest the best for me. I am one with the cosmic energy and use it to manifest the best for me. I am one with the cosmic energy and use it to manifest the best for me. Freak that any which way you want. You can meditate and say that as you meditate. You can chant it. You can make it into a song. You can write it over and over. However you like, just do it. I am one with the cosmic energy and use it to manifest the best for me. Now, the soul work for the week is to find out your astrological chart if you haven't already. And I want you guys to find out where these aspects are affecting your chart. And I want you to take notice of where these energies are affecting you in your day-to-day life. Because, like Mike mentioned earlier, even if you never even once paid attention or did one new moon ritual, full moon ritual, no rituals whatsoever, even if you never paid attention, even if you don't even believe in astrology or any of that, energies are still affecting your life in these areas, whether you're aware of it or not. It's still happening. And sometimes I'm terrified, because sometimes I feel like, am I on my square? Am I on my square? Like, I do not want to go through another spell of anything I don't want. I really want to release. Are we done with the purging? Did I miss something here? Because I feel like I'm still purging. Like, God, please don't tell me I missed the mark where everything is stamped into reality and, like, I'm manifesting. I don't want to manifest this anymore. I want this new stuff, and I'm so on it. But there are some people who aren't. And even if you aren't, your consciousness is still, it's still happening, whether you're aware of it or not. And so I want you all to be aware of it. Find out where it's playing out in your life, and then find out, like, is this relevant? Like, do you see it play out in your day-to-day once you find out your chart and all of that? If you get a reading, if you've never gotten a reading, if you have got a reading, hit Mike up on astrologer.com and get a reading done. Get a reading done. See how it goes. Watch how it just makes so much sense and how you're just really confirming everything that you've already been hearing inside of yourself. You're confirming everything that just already is. And I'm just really excited for you guys. I'm really excited for all of us. Like, I know that this has been a turbulent few months with finances for me, finances for a lot of people, the way that I even think about finances and abundance. Because I know I'm a billionaire. Like, it's all over me. I am a billionaire. And so it's just about aligning with my relationships and how I, you know, the different relationship structures and stuff like that, different family structures, all these different things have been completely renewed for me, and it hasn't all been easy. It's not always easy to let go of stuff that have been habits for so long, but guess what? You can do it. You're not alone. We're in this together. You're not crazy. Maybe you are a weirdo, but guess what? The best people are weirdos, and it's all good. I love you guys so much. And I'm so excited. Next week, we're going to have something for the fellas. Yeah, that's right. We're going to have something for the gods out there. I'm so excited. I'll share it all with you online on Facebook. You can find me, Alicia Monet. I'm there. I'm so excited. I just love you guys so much. Until next week, love, peace, and fairy dust.